In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees accused Jesus of impropriety. He claimed to be the Messiah, the Christ, the very Son of God. And yet he hangs out with the wrong crowd. Everyone knew the tax collectors stuffed their own pockets. They were greedy, but with the backing of the Roman government, there was nothing they could do to stop it. They were almost allowed to steal from those that they were collecting taxes. They were shrewd, demanding, and quite rich. Good people don't spend time with them, much less go over to their house for dinner. And what about those sinners? Well, those are the people that everyone knew had publicly sinned in some way. Corrupt merchants, prostitutes, drug dealers. It was all common knowledge. Good people stayed away from them, so they're not corrupted. And yet there we find Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners, and not just a few, but with many. Prostitutes, drug dealers, abortionists, and gang members, thieves, and the corrupt. He surrounds himself with them. Jesus doesn't keep very good company. But they were sick. Not physically. Physically, they were fine. Their lives were quite okay. But spiritually, they were sick. Morally, they were sick. Their stealing, their skimming, their greed for more earthly wealth was merely only a symptom of a far greater spiritual illness. Their breaking of the seventh commandment, "You shall not steal," was merely a symptom of a far greater commandment they had broken. The first, "You shall have no other gods." They failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And the same was true of the sinners. Though the sinners' sins were different, not according to the second or the seventh commandment, but according to the sixth, they too had a symptom of a far greater sin. They failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Their sins were outwardly different, but the heart was the same. And we might as well throw in the disciples who are also eating with Jesus. Though the government would not punish their sin, though their sins were seemingly benign and harmless to everyone, they also failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. All are sick. And unless the divine physician offers some kind of medicine, all will die. So Jesus says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." The Pharisees have not learned what that means. They think they are righteous. They think they are good. They keep the law of God. Outwardly, they have not turned into corruption of the Roman economic system. They have not changed their values, but have held fast to the word of God, unlike those Sadducees, who became a bit too Roman at times. These Pharisees have integrity. Outwardly, they are good, they're moral, they're honest. They offer the right sacrifices at the right time for the right sin. Others look up to them. Mothers want their daughters to marry them. Fathers want their sons to be like them. And so they refuse to sit with Jesus and those tax collectors and sinners, for they know that good people don't keep bad company. They haven't learned. So which are you? The tax collector or the Pharisee? The righteous or the sinner? The sick or the healthy? Learn what this means. God desires mercy and not sacrifice. We've misunderstood that saying. God is not saying that we don't have to go to church, we don't have to give an offering so long as we live a good outward life. That's what the Pharisees understood, and that's what we also want it to say. So long as we are merciful to others, then it doesn't matter what we do or what we believe. So we want God to love us because we are good people. Because we have not bent with society's morals. We have held fast to the word of God. We haven't changed our definition of marriage or what a man is or what a woman is. We've held fast to the word of God. So we are these good people that God must love. If only the world had more people like me, we say. Probably would be a worse place. We want God to love us because of who we are and what we have done. We think it's dependent upon our mercy. But again, that's not what God is saying. He's not telling us to be kind toward others, but rather he is saying this: I desire to show you mercy, not to receive your sacrifices. God wants to give you something, not to receive something from you. He wants to show you mercy because he knows that you are not righteous. You are not good enough. You are not kind enough, loving enough, or gentle enough. You are far from perfect. He knows that you are sick, and the symptoms and the sins that you commit are merely a symptom of a far greater sin dwelling in your heart. We fail to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So he doesn't want you to sacrifice your money in an offering plate. He doesn't want you to give up your time to attend church. He doesn't want you to be a faithful father. He doesn't want you to be a hard-working husband. He doesn't want you to be a kind and gentle mother who gives herself solely to her children. He doesn't want you to work hard in your career. So long as you think that it makes you good before God, he wants none of it. He does not desire your sacrifice. He desires to show you mercy. So he did not come to hang out with the good people. In fact, he did not come for the righteous. So if you think yourself a good person who has fulfilled and kept the law of God, then Jesus did not come for you. Again, the outward symptoms vary. Think of a parent and a child. Both have sinned, and yet both sin in different ways. Unless we are to claim that we are the only person in the history of the world who has never made a mistake or sinned, we have also fallen short of God's glory. And those mistakes reveal a far deeper sin dwelling in our hearts. For every time we sin, we are propping up another God. We are choosing what we want above what God wants. The reasons may vary, but we are pushing our own agenda rather than living underneath his will. So we also, yes, have failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, because if we always feared him, if we always loved and trusted in him, we would never sin. Too many fail to recognize their own disease, and so they stay away. They judge this church as a place of sinners, of people who say one thing and do another. They don't recognize that they also are sick. They think they're righteous. They stay away because they think they're good enough before God because of what they have done. Perhaps they need to hear what God says: be perfect as I am perfect, or the soul that sins shall die, or even if you keep the whole law and yet stumble at one point, you are guilty of breaking it all and so deserve the full punishment of the law. So as a physician, a doctor is found among sick people, so also Christ is found among sinners. Because he desires to show mercy, not receive sacrifice. So if you think you are righteous, he is not for you. If you think that you're good enough, then he is not for you. If you think that you have kept the law of God, again, he is not for you. He comes for the sinner, the sick, the weak, and the distraught. Because he comes to take away the sin into his own healthy body so that he might be the sacrifice and payment for all sin. He makes the sick whole, the sinner righteous, and the dead alive. He makes the tax collector and sinner worthy to sit at his own table in his heavenly kingdom, eating food from his plate. And nothing has changed today. Jesus is still found among sinners. He still eats with the greedy, with the adulteress, with the abuser. He still eats with the murderer. By God's grace, we have not committed those sins outwardly, but our eyes have wandered, our thoughts have strayed, and our hearts have hated. So he eats with you and with me because he desires to show mercy. So we have come into the presence of our divine brother not to give him our money, not to worship him, not to be moved in our hearts to lift up our prayers or songs or thanks to him, but we have come to receive his mercy. We have learned what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. It means we are sick. We are sinners. We are not good enough. We are unrighteous and we need his help. We need to receive the medicine of immortality. We need the forgiveness of sins that comes solely from his love. Without it, we will die. It also teaches us about him, that he is merciful. He is not ready to jump down our throats when we sin, but he is ready to be merciful. He will not rebuke us. He will not scold us. He will not mock us, demean us, or yell at us for being ignorant of his law. But he will love us. He will not condone our sin, but neither will he strike us down. He will take away our sin and give us his salvation. And then he will prepare a seat at his table once more, so that we might eat from his plate and drink from his cup. Take and eat, take and drink. He is the host, he is the server, he is the king, he is the physician. In his hands we are healed, body and soul, unto life everlasting. So we have come tonight not to give God anything, but to receive his mercy. Yes, he keeps bad company because he hangs out with us. But he comes to hang out with us so that he might be our Savior, take away our sins, and give us his life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.